Well, turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. The thought will come tonight, and I want you to keep this in your mind if you're writing things down. Write this down. Put it in the dash of your truck. Put it in your bedroom. Put it beside your phone. Put it in your office. Wherever you spend a lot of time. I didn't come up with this, by the way, so I can't take credit for it. We'll get you there in a minute. But write this down. There's more with me than they are with thee. Okay? There's more with thee with me. Sorry. There's more with me than there are with thee. Okay? There's more with me than there are with thee. We're going to preface this a little bit, and we'll try to bring it around to where it means something to you. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Dear God, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear God, we're so thankful, Lord, for what we felt in our hearts. We're thankful, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, dear God, for the testimonies that's being lifted up. We're thankful for the songs. Lord, we pray that they would have touched each and every one that's here. And now, dear God, we pray that you would bless your word. Dear God, help me to get out of the way. And I pray that you would speak to everyone that's here tonight through your Holy Spirit. Dear God, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, dear God, we pray that they would be encouraged, Lord, to go out into the world and spread the gospel. And for those here, Lord, that might not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray that you would send your convicting spirit down upon them. Lord, we pray that they would see that their sins separate them from you, dear God. But, Father, we pray that you would help them to see that that's not the way you want it, Lord, and that you gave your Son that they wouldn't have to be separated from you. And if they will trust and have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you'll save them, Lord. Father, we just pray that you would bless your word, bless each and every one that's here tonight. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's more with me than there are with thee. This is a law that God's laying down to the children of Israel and saying, hey, this is what I want you to do when you go out to battle. Because God had promised Israel a promised land. Israel had been captive in Egypt for years, for centuries. And he sent Moses saying, you're going to take my children out of the land of Egypt. And I'm going to give you a land that's yours. But that wasn't going to come easy to them. You know what? A lot of times the things that God asks us to do aren't easy.
Amen.
It's not, you know what? Sometimes it's not easy just to raise your hand and serve. I mean, say, you know, it's kind of like you've got a rope to, no, I ain't getting it up here. And that's really hard just like that. It's really hard to witness to people sometimes because we're afraid might make fun of you. You know what that God? That's what God calls us Amen. To do. God calls us when we come in these walls right here to praise Him. Amen. We ought to thank God for what He does for us. We ought to praise God for what He does for us. And a lot of times that doesn't come easy to us. But man, I might stand up. Well, what do I say? You know what? If we're obedient to God, He'll give you what He wants you to say.
Amen.
We just got to have faith and trust that God knows what's going on. But it wasn't going to be easy for the children of Israel because there were people living in the land that God was going to give them. And God told them, you're going to have to go in and you're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to fight. And you're going to come and you're going to battle with other people. And when you do, this is how you handle it. Can I tell you something this evening? We're in a battle.
Amen.
We're in a battle. Our country is in a battle. Our churches are in a battle. This church is in a battle. You mean this church is in a battle? I sit back here looking through the door this morning. There was a battle going on. Because you could see red, and I don't mean rednecks. People's necks were red. People's ears were burning. white knuckling pews. There was a battle going on right there, and it was Satan fighting God for the souls of those people. And the ones that raised their hands, Satan won that battle.
Amen.
That doesn't mean Satan's going to win the war, because my Bible says that, that he's not. Satan's never going to win in the end. But there's a battle. I want you to turn real quick to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. I don't aim to keep you very long, but I aim to give you what God has given me. So we'll turn over here real quick to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. This talks about the battle. Chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." What that tells me is I'm not battling against people.
Amen.
That's what we need to understand when we go out into the world as Christians. You're not going out to battle against people. You are going out to battle against Satan and the third of the stars, or the third of the angels that Satan drew out of heaven when he warred with God. That's who we're battling. Well, what do you mean? I have a real problem with this person here who makes fun of me because I'm saved. Why do you think that person makes fun of you? Because you're saved. Why do you think that person makes fun of you? Why do you think that that person tries to add you in to arguments about the Bible? Why do you think that person tries to get you mad?
The devil.
It comes right from Satan. It comes right from Satan's angels who goes in and puts thoughts like that in people's heads. So you're really not fighting against your co-worker. You're not fighting against your family. You're not fighting against your in-laws. You're fighting against the spiritual wickedness in high places who has made them believe, hey, you know what? These people are just a bunch of crybabies. These people are weak, so they got to come into church because they got to be around each other, because if they didn't have each other, you know, they wouldn't be strong people. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Because I'll look at them and I'll say, hey, there's more with me than they are with thee. Because I know that, I know there's people in this church that I can call anytime I needed something. I know that if I'm going through a spiritual trial in my life, that I can call this man right here. I know I can call that man right there. I know I can call any number of people in this church and say, man, I'm going through something. What do you think about this? Lost, let me tell you what Satan will do to you. Man, you won that argument with them. Helped out Satan right there. Helped out Satan discourage a person. Way to go. Good job. Now, tell me the next time you need something, tell me when Satan's going to be there for you. Now, you might get something in life. But you know what? When you stand at that judgment, or when you stand at that great white throne judgment, and you spent your whole entire life serving Satan. That's what that is. I don't care how many ways you want to cut it. If you're not serving Jesus Christ, you're serving Satan.
Amen.
Let's just call it how it is. Let's quit trying to sugarcoat it, and let's just say what it is. You're either a God worshiper or you're a Satan worshiper. I don't care if you got blood running out of your mouth, or if you got fangs, or if you got upside down stars or whatever hanging in your house. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're worshiping and you're serving Satan. Now, you might not have ever looked at it that way before, but that's just how God looks at you.
Amen.
If you want to get down to how God looks at you, if you're saved, God doesn't look at you. He looks at the blood of Jesus Christ that's applied to you. He doesn't see Jeremy Eastwood. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Because I know the type of person, I've said this before, and I'll say it until He calls me home. I know the type of person I was. And the type of person that I was ain't getting into heaven.
Amen.
Ain't obtaining. Hey, my mom says it's true. So you know it's true. I ain't lying.
I wasn't either,
buddy. Amen.
Okay, so we got that out of the way. I wasn't a very good person. And as it stood right there, if I would have went to judgment at that point in time, that's when He would have looked at me and said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." But then driving home that day. When the Holy Spirit entered into my heart, then now Jesus no longer saw or God no longer saw me. He saw the blood that I accepted for my sin. And that blood took away my sin, not covered, took away and lost. That's the same thing that it can do for you tonight. If you'll just have, if you'll just take that measure of faith that God has given you. I preached on that the last time about the measure of faith. If you'll just take that measure of faith that God has put in you, each one of us has the ability to be saved. It's just whether or not you want to take that measure of faith that God has given you and you want to take that faith and you want to put it in Jesus Christ. But we're in a battle. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, this is Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. You know, we'll go out in the world and we think, oh man, this is such a bad place. And you know what? As far as it's concerned about the number of lost people in this world and the number of saved people in this world, we are outnumbered. I mean, they can take all the surveys that they want to over the phone in the United States and have 80 or 85% of the people in the United States say, yeah, I'm a Christian. If we had 85% Christians in this country, we wouldn't be in the shape that we are right now. That's just a fact. We're outnumbered in this country. But you know what? There's never, ever a reason for us to be afraid of anything that goes on out there. The Bible says we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
That means we can go out having on the helmet of salvation that'll protect our mind when Satan comes in and says, you wasn't saved. That was just a weak point in your life when you were driving down the road right there. You just didn't know where else to turn. Well, he's right about that. I didn't have nowhere else to turn. But you didn't really get it. Because I know what I felt that day. And I know I felt it when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, because I didn't want to do the things that I used to do. I didn't want to think the things that I used to do. I wanted to please God. I didn't much know how to. Didn't know what God wanted me to do yet. But hey, Lord, here I am. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. Hey, Satan ain't ever going to tempt you to work in the church. Satan ain't ever going to tempt you to stand up and testify. Satan's never going to tempt you to go and spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. Are you led to do that? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit? I know He bears witness with my spirit. You might be in here and say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Because that's what the Bible says, that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. You know what that means? That means the Holy Spirit will let me know. He lets me know that I'm a child, that I'm a child of the King. Now, Satan might come and he might try to get me down. He might try to question my faith. He might try to question my salvation. But he can't. Because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm able. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. I know Him. Do you know Him this evening? Look what it says in verses 2 and 3. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. You know what he's saying? When you get into that battle, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, whether or not it's a co-worker, whether or not it's a situation in your life, whether or not it's a marriage, whether or not it's your in-laws, I don't know. It says, don't faint. Hey, don't back up. But hit that thing head on. That's what God wants. That's what we need, is people in this country who will go and just hit something head on. You mean you don't believe in homosexual marriage? No, I don't believe in it. And I don't have mind to tell you that I don't.
Amen.
And I'll just tell you right now, I don't believe in it because it's what this says. And does that mean God doesn't love them?
No, it doesn't.
No, that doesn't. Talk about rank and sin. Any sin will separate you from God.
Amen.
Whether or not it's a lie, whether or not you steal a Snickers bar from the marathon down here, or whatever it is, any sin will separate you from God. But in the way that God looks at some sins, not every sin does God say that it's an abomination to Him. There's some things that absolutely disgust God. That's what an abomination is that God looks upon that and is disgusted. You're being disgusted. I mean, we say we're disgusted. You know, I walk in Ty's room. This room is disgusting. Well, it's really not. It's just messy. I mean, disgusting feels like yakking. You know, when you get a hold of one of them diapers. That's disgusting. And you want to get away from it as soon as possible. But look what the Bible says about fainting in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. You don't have to turn there, I'll just tell you. But be not weary in well-doing. Don't ever get tired of working for the Lord.
Amen.
Don't ever get tired. Don't ever think that you've punched the time clock. Don't ever think that you've put in enough years of service that, oh, I can retire now.
Amen.
We don't retire from being Christian.
Amen.
We don't retire from serving God. God might call you into something else. Maybe you've been doing something for however many years in the church, and God might lead you to something else. I'm not going to say that Casey's going to play the piano for the whole time that she comes here. I hope you do. But you know what? God might call Casey to do something completely different. God might call me to do something completely different. But be not weary in well-doing. Don't sit around there and complain. I mean, you think if God calls you to do something, whether it's in this church, whether you go to a church somewhere else, I don't care. But if God calls you to do a work for Him, number one, you need to hit it head on. You don't need to faint. And don't be weary of it. Because we do that sometimes, don't we? Whew. Man, I got to preach Sunday night, and Garrett called me on Thursday. Slimy worm. Give me... I'm just kidding. Give me 2 days. Hey, you know what? I should have been studied up long before that. I was, by the way.
I was going to tell you
today. Well, yeah, it'd been nice. You know what? How many times do we do that? Might go back here and teach a class. And look, that ain't easy. I mean, out of all the youngins that we teach back there, I got the easiest job because them high school kids will at least go come in there, sit down, shut up. I mean, them looks. No. Matt's laughing. Matt takes about 6 of them home with him every night. Yeah. But you know what? That's hard. But it goes back to teaching them little kids. It goes back to teaching them about Jesus. It goes back to showing them the right way. It goes back to training up a child in the way that he should go. And that way, when they feel something, man, I feel what they feel. And man, because I feel that, I'm going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Man, God's in my heart. That comes from what they learn back there. That comes from what they see in here. Now, there's some of them. I don't know if Luke doesn't understand that his sins separate him from God right now. But he understands that there's a God. And he understands that Jesus Christ is his Son. And he understands that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He knows where the blessings of my family come from. He knows it comes from God. He knows that it doesn't come from Dad. He knows that it doesn't come from Mom. He knows that it comes from God. But don't be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. People come in and say, I just quit. Hey, you quit if you want to. I don't know where you're going to end up. But as for me, I'm going to be like Joshua. You quit if you want to. I wouldn't recommend it, but as for me and my house, we're going to keep pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we need to understand that there's a battle. We need to understand that in that battle, we don't need to faint. And we need to understand that the victory is won by God. Victory's not won by us. I've never won a battle against Satan. I've never won a battle. Any battle that I've ever come out on top of was because Jesus Christ was with me. And the Holy Spirit was with me. Look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54. You might be in here and say, well, hey, you know what? I'm lost. I don't have them battles. I don't have them battles with my co-workers. You know what? You're probably in a battle right now. You're probably in a battle right now. Satan trying to keep a hold of you. And that'll go something like, man, grab a hymnal and see if you can just leaf through the hymnal and see if you can find some songs that you know. Maybe you can find two or three, and that'll pass 5 minutes at a time. Maybe see if you can stare at the fan and see if you can catch one blade going round and round and round and round and round. That might take up a good 5 minutes. There's 10 minutes right there. He's already 10-15 minutes in. So if this guy only preaches 30 minutes, man, all I got's 5 minutes left. And then, you know, they'll give an altar call for a little bit so I can count the number of lights. And then I can get to the back door. You know what that is? That's the battle. You're in a battle right now. And that's what Satan is using. Say, hey, you know what? Get your mind off what the preacher is saying. Get your mind off what the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, and that you need to get your sin taken care of. And the only way to get your sin taken care of is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He's trying to get your mind and get your heart off of that. Don't let him do that. Don't let him win that battle. You know what the only battle you got to fight on your own is? There's one battle in every Christian's life that you've got to fight on your own. One. And that's that first step that you've got to make and put in your faith and trust. You know, because God ain't going to make you do that.
Amen.
He's made it that way. He's not going to make you. So that first step and that faith that you put into Him, that's what you got to do on your own. But man, when that Holy Spirit comes in there, you never have to fight another one.
Amen.
Without.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll get over there. We'll start at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Man, if we just stopped right there, that'd be a bad deal. But man, go on down to verse 57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the what? The victory. If you want victory in this life, it has to come through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says in all things we are more than conquerors. Why? Because I'm such a great person? No, not because of me. It's because God and His Holy Spirit in me. That's what makes me a conqueror. That's what makes me have my sin taken as far as the east is from the west. We're more than conquerors. And why? Because me? No. Why? Because you? No. Because of God. And if you don't have God, how you gonna win? I'm trying to figure that out in my mind. Because you can go through example after example after example in this book where Satan tries to defeat God.
Amen.
Example after example. We've all heard of Job. You know what? The whole book of Job ain't about Job. This guy's an idiot. It's not about Job. It's about the battle between God and Satan that was fought in Job. That's what we're doing, is we're fighting a battle, and it's a battle between God and against Satan, and we determine who wins that battle for our soul. Think about that, Christians. When we go out in the world, we're fighting a battle. You know why? Because Satan, man. That's one of the great things I love about being saved, because anytime Satan wants to bring a temptation to me, he has to come to God first. If you're here and you're lost, you ain't got that luxury. You don't have that filter. Satan can do with you whatever he wants to. But if you're saved, then Satan has to come before God. And if you're here and you're a young convert, it's coming if it ain't already. I'm just telling you. It's coming. Because the easiest way for Satan to get at God is to make sure that you don't get rooted. Is to make sure that you don't get rooted in that word right there. Is to make sure that you don't know what God says about how He wants things and about how He has worked everything out. He wants to get you as far away from this place. He wants to get you as far away from Christians as He possibly can. But you know what? I found this out. The Lord will not tempt you above that which ye are able. And it goes on to say that He'll make a way of escape for every temptation. God will not let Satan tempt you to where, if you break, it's your fault. It's what I'm trying to get at. Each one of God will never let Satan tempt you more than you're able to bear. He will never do that. That's a promise in God's Word. He will never let Satan put more on you than what you can bear. You see people going through trials and tribulations, oh, I just can't bear this. Are you saved? Well, yeah. Well, then, yeah, you can. And that's not trying to make light of people's situations. There's people that go through hard times. And Sister Nancy's been sick. I'm not making light of the fact that Sister Nancy is sick. I'm not making fun. I'm not making fun of anybody else who is going through something in their life. What I'm trying to get you to see is that's how much God loves you, that whatever comes in your life, God knows that if you'll look to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, is that if we'll look to Him, we can bear that regardless of what it is. I never thought, man, I could bear watching my son go through 8 eye surgeries in 1 year. I never thought that. Man, I can't do this. Well, let's say he'll be 11 in November. 10 years later, running around playing football, playing guitar, all this stuff, and I look back on it. Thank you, Lord. I mean, I don't know how to explain. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know. I wish I could get across to people how you can thank God for bad times. Now look, when he was 2.5 weeks old and I had to hand him off and the nurse was walking back through the hall, I wasn't shouting to the top of my lungs, oh, thank you, Lord, for letting my son go into surgery. Thank you, Lord, that I'm miserable right now because I know that they're going to cut his eye open. So, we want everything now. But I look back on it. I say, man, you know what? God used that. Because at that point in time, I was nowhere near where I needed to be in my relationship with God. And I will go to my grave believing that God used that to get me back where I needed to be with Him. And because that He did that, now my little boy can sit up on this front pew and I can watch the tears stream down his eyes and say, Dad, what was you crying for? He said, Dad, I was just filled up. So was 8 eye surgeries worth it? Praise the Lord, it was. Praise the Lord. It was. But we have the victory through God. There's more with me than they are with thee. That's what we need to tell Satan. So whenever we go out, we get that temptation. Satan comes to us. Then all we got to do is say, hey, hold on here, Menhoff. There's more with me than they are with thee. What are you talking about? Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll find it here. 2 Kings chapter 6. You look down in verse 15 through 17. We have a prophet. The nation of Israel was warring against Syria. And Elisha was going and telling the king of Israel everywhere that he needed to go. said, hey, you know what? The armies of Syria are over here, so you need to go over here. Okay, now they're coming up this way, so you need to come back down this way. And so the king of Syria is getting all mad. So what in the world's going on here? We got to have somebody in our army that's tipping the Israelites off, because every time we go after them and we think we got them, they ain't there. Then one of the Syrian king's servants says, no, that ain't what it is. He said, they got this fellow down here named Elisha. He's a man of God. And he hears everything that you say as if he was standing in your bedchamber. So he's a man of God. And he hears everything that you say concerning the Israelites as if he was sitting in your bedroom. So the king says, we got to take care of this guy. I can take care of him real quick. So he sends an army after Elisha. And Elisha's servant, hey, there's a little bit of fainting in him. He comes up to Elisha and says, hey, they're right down here. They're coming. Elisha said, don't worry about that. That's where we pick it up here in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Oh, what in the world are we going to do? We've had it this time. They're down there and they're coming for us. Verse 16 says, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. That's what Elisha told his servants. There's more with us than they are with them. And I think the servant's kind of like, this guy's crazy. It's just me and him standing here. They got a whole army down here at the foot of the hill. What's he talking about? There's more with us than they are with them. Said, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Even though the servant couldn't see the army of the Lord, he was there to protect him. Even though we can't see the army of the Lord, he's there to protect us. He has them protecting us. He's there in every trial. He's there in every tribulation. He's there in every bad thing that we'll face. We just got to have the faith that it's there. Man, I think that'd be neat one time going through a trial and you think, oh, I got it so bad. If God would just open your eyes and just let you see what He surrounds you with. And just see the Holy Spirit just around you and taking care of you and comforting. And I think when that servant saw all them horses and all them chariots and the armies of God up there on that mountaintop, he's like, man, these Syrians have had a bad day. You know what? It's no different for us than it was for the servant of Elisha. We quote this a lot when we talk about Lucifer. It says that his tail, if you look over in Revelations, it says that his tail drew a third of the stars from heaven. And if you study that out real good, then what that means is a third of the angels in heaven, when Lucifer or Satan warred with God, took Lucifer's side. Do you know what? That still leaves 66% on our side. Lucifer took 33%. But that still left God with more than enough. And He always gives us more than enough. Amen. We always have more than enough. There's always more than enough grace when we need it. There's always more than enough mercy when we need it. There's always more than enough love when we need it. Lost, that's what you don't understand. And I'm not saying this to try to make you feel inferior. But if you just realize, if you could just feel what happens just to be able to call on God and know that everything's going to be fine. Just to know, regardless of how it turns out, hey, there's a lot of things that I pray for that I didn't get it the way I wanted it. But man, that's where that grace comes in. That's where that love comes in. That's where that faith comes in, to know, hey God, you know what, I understand that I don't know. And God, even though I don't understand why you didn't answer this the way I wanted an answer, I know you're in control. Man, if we could just see that. And Elisha's servant, at that point in time, he saw who was in control. And you know what? They serve God just the same as we serve God. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the same God of the Old Testament that He is the New Testament. So if he's going to surround Elisha and his servant when they were going through a trial and tribulation, will he not surround us also? That doesn't mean we can see angels flying around, but that doesn't mean that we need to be ignorant to know that they're not there.
Amen.
So when we go out into the world, we need to understand that they're there. That God put you know what that hedge is? You know when it talks about a hedge in the Bible? That's what that is. It's a protection. It's a protection. Lost, you don't have that protection right now. You just don't. How do I get that protection? You accept Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Yeah. Can I use you for a second? I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? Well, I might. Did you understand everything about salvation when you got saved?
No.
Did you care?
No.
Oh. Really? Because we think that we got to have it all figured out. You don't have to have it all figured out. The only thing you got to know is when God's tugging on your heartstring, that He's wanting you to do something about it, and He's wanting you to respond to it. And what He wants you to do is He wants you to surrender and give your life to Him. Doesn't say you got to have a PhD in biblical studies. You don't. None of us do. We're just smart enough to realize, oh man, I know why my back hurts right now. I know why my neck hurts. I know why my ears hurt. It's because that's what happens to me when God deals with me and the Holy Spirit, and I know that I better do something about it or I'm going to take a whooping. It's easy to cure. Oh man, that's a long way up there. This ain't a very big church. I'm pretty sure it's about 30 feet, right? 30 feet. I'd walk farther than that to get something to eat. I'd walk farther than that to get something to drink. I mean, I'd walk farther than that to do a lot of things. You're telling me 30 feet's going to keep you? And look, it ain't the distance. Walking up this aisle don't save you. Everybody in here seeing you crying, that don't save you. What saves you? Kneeling down at this altar don't save you. What saves you is the exact second that in your heart you surrender to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'll fight with you. Anybody that's ever walked this aisle with sincere intentions, hey, I think they were saved before they got out of the pew.
Amen.
Because it's the condition of your heart. That's what you need to understand is where is your heart? It's not about what man says you need to do. I mean, because you look at man, I mean, we've kind of screwed stuff up. All of it. I mean, we can't even agree on interpretations of the Bible. Shoot, me and Danny preach together and we don't agree on all of it. We'll fight about that later. I'm just kidding. But it's not about what man says you have to do. It's not about what I say or what Garrett says or what Danny says or what anybody else says in here. It says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. You mean all I got to do is say it?
No.
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It's in 2 Chronicles. There was a king of Judah by the name of Asa. And at that point in time, Judah and Israel were warring against each other. And Asa went to Syria, said, I want to make a pact with you. I'll give you all this money if you'll come and you'll help me defeat the Israelites. When all really Asa had to do was call on God, and God would have helped him. And then it says, at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Listen to this. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, but because you depended on me in those instances, He delivered them into your hand. Asa, when you was relying on the Lord, look at all the victories that He gave you. Did all them other armies, were they not so big? Did they not have a lot of chariots? Did they not have a lot of men? Did they not have a lot of armor? But you know what? You relied on God and He gave you victory.
Amen.
Verse 9 says, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. I believe the eyes of the Lord are here tonight. Doesn't say that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro to show Himself strong in those who are strong, or to show Himself strong in those who are smart, or in those who have a lot of money, or in those who might be better looking than others. It says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world to show Himself strong in those whose heart is perfect toward Him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how you talk up to this point. But if your heart is right, that's what God's looking for. And I see a man right here who will stand up. You know what? It takes a lot of nerve to stand up and tell the church to curse God one time. Huh? But you know what? I appreciate it. I don't want people in here. I don't want people coming in this church acting like they're perfect. I'll stand up here right now and tell you that I ain't perfect. If I was perfect, I wouldn't have needed a Savior. But God has showed His strength. He showed His strength to me because a man's heart was right towards Him. And because a man's heart was right, and he comes and he accepts Jesus Christ, now you can look back there. And you can see a man and a woman, man that we just baptized this morning, who never have to worry when they lay their head down again. If God comes back or if He takes me out of this world, what will happen to me? You can have that. You can have that tonight.